The readings are from John 14:25-27, John 15:1-8, and Psalm 51:10-12. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You may remember the Sunday morning in early January when there were a lot of small cards that were on tables out here in the church lobby. And there was one word written on each card. And at the end of the service, Pastor Hannah encouraged each of us to select a word that would be a guiding star to follow in 2023. A guiding star that would be kind of a spiritual resolution, excuse me. The word that I chose that day was align, A-L-I-G-N. And I chose it because it was a reminder of an ongoing challenge that I've been probably dealing with for 50 or 60 years. And the challenge is to surrender, to align my whole self, my will, to God's will and his purpose for my life. I want to be in sync and in harmony and unity with him. So when I took the card home, I put it where I could see it pretty often during the day. And there was one day that all of a sudden, there were words that kept on popping into my head. They just came out one after another, kind of in a jumble. And it was crazy, really. And all the words that were occurring to me started with the letter A, every one of them. So, and I quickly grabbed a piece of paper and jotted down as many of them as I could catch as they were tumbling out of my mind. And when I was done, I counted at least 20 words that had occurred to me starting with the letter A. And it was definitely puzzling, unusual. And it made me kind of curious to maybe check it out. Maybe that's what I was supposed to do. And it took me a while to zero in on just what the meaning of it all was. I think it took more than a week for me to zero in on it. And my thinking was going in all kinds of directions. I thought, what's this all about? It was so odd. And the funny thing was, I kept on adding words that started with the letter A to my list. It was just so unusual. But that experience is what I want to share with you tonight. And I'm calling it the A-plus prayer life. And I think for me, and I don't know for you, but for me, all those words that started with A helped me describe what a meaningful prayer life could be. So here goes. The first thing I feel we should do at any time we pray is to affirm God's presence. God said to Moses, as he says to us today, "My presence will go with you." And this is topmost. It should be the first thing we do when we awake. We should abide in that presence all day long. And we should acknowledge it when we go to bed at night. God is always with us, whether we're aware of it or not. John 15 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." You know, many times I think we do things just, we think we're doing them on our own. And when we do, we're just fooling ourselves because this is God working with us, and we're working with Him. And the thing is that the Holy Spirit is within us, and He gives us this assurance that God is accompanying us in everything we do, whatever it is. We're never doing anything by ourselves. We are never alone. Notice I'm emphasizing these words that start with A, because that's what I'm trying to share with you, what came to me. Paul encouraged the the Thessalonians many years ago that they should pray continually. And I've always wondered just how does a person go about doing that with the demands that we have on our lives every day, goings and comings and that sort of thing? And it occurred to me that just one word, like these words that Pastor Hannah had out on the table for us, one word could be something that we could say anytime during the day. It would just be in a moment. It would be so easy to say, you know. It would come to us, we could say it, and it's kind of like affirming, abiding, you know, whatever word we might want to use. And sometimes the words, maybe just one word might not be adequate. And you might want to say a little phrase of maybe two or three words altogether. How many of us have said, "Praise the Lord," PTL? Not very much, but a very simple prayer. It means a lot. And I find I go around all day long saying, "Thank you, Lord," because some little thing has happened, and I think, "He's orchestrated this. Thank you, Lord." So anyway, use your guiding star that you got on those cards several weeks ago. They can mean something every day, and continually during the day as well. Now, as we meditate on the awesomeness of God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present God, that's the moment that we as humans become very much aware of our own shortcomings, our sins. And we want to be forgiven. We want to be freed and acquitted and absolved of them. And as I was thinking about this, it came to me that there are three very important parts to this idea of being forgiven. The first thing is we have to admit our sins. Not only the sins of commission, but those of omission, the things we didn't do that we should have done. Second, we must ask forgiveness for those sins. And third, the most important and vital moment that we should consider here is we need to accept God's forgiveness for those sins. Because when we fully accept His forgiveness, that's when we should feel a cleansing, a purification that it takes place in our lives. And remember what I, in Psalm 51, said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So these are the things. Admit sins, ask for forgiveness, and most important, accept God's forgiveness. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it difficult to accept forgiveness for my shortcomings because I feel ashamed. It's something I've said or done, and yet on the other hand, I've learned that it's best to deal with that sin, those sins, whatever they are, ASAP. Act on it right away. And here's when you need the Holy Spirit's guidance, because you want to know what is the best way to make amends. And then you have to follow through with it. You have to act. And maybe it's something that happened that you need to forgive someone else. And we know that we need to give forgiveness if we want to be forgiven. But in all of this, we have to watch out for old man Satan. He likes to keep reminding us of something that may have happened in the past, a long ago past. And so we have to remind Satan that it's been forgiven and he can't have anything more to say about it. And I had a friend a few years ago. She said, you know how to deal with these attacks from Satan? She said, just get up and stomp on his head. And I thought, I don't know. Well, you know, it's not all bad. I've done it periodically. In fact, I did it today, I must admit it. You know, you're not facing Satan directly yourself. You can't, you know, slap him up the side of the head. So get up and stomp on his head. That's a very, very physical thing you could do. And so go ahead and do it. It might work for you. It works for me anyway. So it's so important in this A-plus prayer life to fully appreciate the blessings of forgiveness that have been granted through the blood of Jesus Christ. He atoned for all our sins, past, present, and future. And he made it possible for us to have an intimate, personal relationship with God. Wow. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, we are cleansed, and it purifies our motivations in our prayers. And so we might say to God, use me. I long to help others. Show me how you want me to do it. How am I supposed to help them? And we know that the major part of healing and answering of prayers is going to be God's part. But he may be asking us to cooperate with him. And how do we do that? We pray for other people. Prayers of intercession. People who are hurting, grieving, sick, disabled, victimized, incarcerated, suicidal, addicted, abused, they may be in pain, those in need of encouragement of some sort, discernment, maybe just need a little act of kindness, a hot meal. And as we pray for others, we need to ask God for guidance, because we need to be alert to what he wants us to do. In other words, he wants us to be aware that maybe he wants us to fulfill those needs that we're praying about. And we have to stop talking to God and listen to what he has to say. What did Pastor Barb tell us last week? And what do we do here at our meditative service? We're in silence, not to talk to God so much as to listen to what he's having to say to us. One of the favorite hymns that our congregation sings is Here I Am, Lord. It's always sung with great gusto and lots of enthusiasm. And the words of the chorus are very appropriate for us and for what I'm trying to say tonight. Because we sing, Here I Am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. So whatever we are asked to do, we need to do it with love. Agape love, another A, agape love, which is unselfish, altruistic, concern for the welfare of others. And what I like, the motto I like to follow is, great opportunities to help others seldom come along, but small ones surround us daily. And Mother Teresa said it another way. She said, do little things with great love. So look for those little things in life that God may be asking you to do. We need to answer God's call to serve. And to do that, there may be some interruptions in our day. You know, we may have to adjust our use of time. Because when we're helping others, it's going to take our time. And we may not be able to get all of the things done on our to-do list. But that's not so important. It's more important, and what a privilege it is. Think about it, to be the ambassador for the King of the universe, to be his agent. What a privilege that is. And with the proper servant attitude, as we do these things, we're bringing glory to his name. We amplify the glory of God. So, in conclusion, prayer, as we know, was a vital part of our Savior's life here on earth. And we're meant to follow in his footsteps. And the important thing is for us to find a method that works for us. It may be a very simple prayer. In fact, it's probably best if they're not real wordy, because they don't have to be. We don't have to impress God with our words or anything like that. And I found that this little adventure I've had with the letter A, the A plus prayer life, has been a very interesting adventure for me, but I need to fine tune it a little bit and find what is the best way for me to actually use it. And I think that's the advice for all of us, to find the method that works for you. I've been trying to find ways. I've been dealing with this for a long time, and I'd like to continue to find new ways, maybe, that I can pray that become meaningful. And there's so many different ways we can do that. So experiment a little bit. But you can always start with that one word on that card, if nothing else. Amen and amen.